Please take your listening sheet and normally I say to you, get a pen or pencil and get prepared with your listening sheet, but this morning I'm going to ask you to not take notes. Obviously you can if you want to, but I would discourage that, and here's why. Just listen with your heart today. I'm going to share a unique message with you. I love America. I love this country. I cherish the freedoms that we enjoy. And those of you who were standing here at the front, you please know that I personally do not take any of that lightly. The men and women who have served, and especially those who have given the supreme sacrifice of their very lives so that we might continue to enjoy the freedoms that God has granted to us here. So I would encourage you today, just listen with your heart with the message that I'm going to share with you over the next few minutes, entitled America Needs God. Follow along in your listening sheet. It is the sermon, basically, and time will not permit me to elaborate much on those points, but just follow along with that. And also, you need to understand that this is a message not about politics. It has absolutely nothing to do with being a Democrat or Republican. Please know that. It has everything to do with being an American. There's a story about an incident that took place several years ago as a prominent evangelical pastor was invited to a Christian university on the East Coast to address the student body during chapel on a particular day. Upon his arrival to the campus, he was greeted by the president of that institution, a very distinguished-looking elderly gentleman with upswept white hair, and he spoke with a decided German accent. And as they walked to the chapel that day, the president requested of the speaker that he would allow him to address the student body before he spoke. Well, you don't say no to the president of his own institution. And so obviously he was granted that permission. After the student body had gathered, the old gentleman walked to the rostrum with a ramrod straightness that only a German has, and he looked out over the students assembled, the picture of dignity and composure. Gazing intently into the eyes of the young people in front of him, the old gentleman began by saying, For you, today is a day like any other day. But for me, it is an extremely important and painful day. Silence fell over the room. The students noticed that the old gentleman, as he spoke, had tears streaming down his cheeks. In an uncharacteristic display of emotion, it stunned the student body and riveted their attention to the podium. And then the old gentleman continued. He said, "Today is November the 9th, the 50th anniversary of Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass. He continued, he said, on this day in 1938, Nazi thugs moved through the cities of Germany, smashing the windows of Jewish homes and shops, and burning their synagogues. Innocent people, men, women, and children, were beaten and killed that night simply because they were Jews. And then, as the old gentleman gathered his composure, he said to the student body, "I was there that night as a young man, and I can still hear the sound of the shattering glass." He said there were many of us who were Christians at that time, and we did nothing. We looked the other way, and we did nothing. He said that was the beginning of the Holocaust, because the Jew haters knew then that no one would stop them. No one would stand in their way. Well, the old man went on to quote the words that are now inscribed in the Auschwitz Memorial in Poland, the place where so many died, the words, "Never again." And then he concluded, "Oh, my Christian young people, we must never let it happen again." Well, I want to say to the people of Mountain Grove, it is happening again in America. In America. Killings in our public schools, killings on our college campuses, killings on our military bases, killings at our workplaces, as recent as what, 2 days ago, 3 days ago? Killings in our mother's wombs, kidnappings, rapes, incest, illegal drugs, alcoholism, drunkenness, white-collar crimes, extortion, corporate thievery, lying, slander, government cover-up, irresponsible, out-of-control spending, pornography, prostitution, divorce, child abuse, sexual perversion, disrespect for our parents, cold-blooded killing of our police officers. On and on. In reality, we must realize that these are simply symptoms of what is taking place with the overall environment of America. Now, what I'm going to share with you over the next few minutes will be very forthright and blunt. America needs to hear what I'm going to share with you in this sermon today. Now, this is not the same nation that I grew up in. It's not the same nation that was handed to me by my parents. America is in grave danger. And if America doesn't repent, we will not be able to hand over a free America to our children and our grandchildren. We must wake up to the fact that America needs God. Now, these five things. First of all, the purpose of America. The purpose of America. Now, listen very carefully. This is going to be the first thing that I'm going to say that's going to offend and upset some of you. And some of you will not agree with this, but here's the statement. America does not mean much to God. God does not need America. But to the contrary, America does need God. America's just another nation to God. There's only one nation in all of history that has ever captured the heart of God. And that's the nation of Israel. And that is because God chose Israel in his overall scheme of redemptive history in order to be the avenue through which God would bring forth the Savior of all of mankind. That's why we are told in Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8 that Israel is in fact the apple of God's eye. That's why God said in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, that God would bless the nation that blesses Israel, and that God would curse the nation that curses Israel. God does not need America. America doesn't mean much to God. So what's the purpose of America? What is the purpose of our beloved country? And do not misunderstand it, my friend. I love this country. I cherish the fact. I am so grateful for the fact that I was born in America by God's sovereign grace. So what's the purpose of America? Only what God wants it to be and to do. The purpose of any nation at any given time in history is only to fit into God's eternal plan of redemption. Let me read Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 to 21 for you. These verses say this: Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. Now catch this. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. We must understand that it is God who raises up kings, and it is God who brings down kings. Now listen carefully. America doesn't mean much to God. It is the church that means everything to God. We've known it ever since you were as short as I am. And that's this. Say it with me, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now listen carefully. Everything that God has ever done, everything that God does is in order to fulfill God's redemptive purpose for mankind. That is the heartbeat of God. It is for your redemption. 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 That is the heartbeat of God. It is for the redemption of mankind. That's why God would bankrupt heaven by stepping out of heaven into earth in the person of his only begotten Son, so that the world through him might be saved. That is the heartbeat of God. It is the church within a nation that captures the heart of God. The nation itself doesn't. God doesn't need America, but America needs God. Here's the second thing I want you to see, and that is the power of America. The power of America. Why is America great? Why has America been blessed as it has? Why is America the richest, wealthiest, most powerful nation ever in all of history? Now, it's because of two reasons, which I'm going to explain to you right now. Please understand that God blesses a nation when that nation recognizes and responds to its reason for existence. Look at what Psalm 33:12 says. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Now, here are two things. First of all, it was framed in righteousness. Framed in righteousness. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says that righteousness exalts a nation, and sin brings reproach to any people. So what is it that builds up a nation? Righteousness. Righteousness. This nation was established upon the foundation stone of righteousness. Our forefathers were believers in the sovereignty of God. They believed in God and they served God. Early documents and writings validate this undeniably. And because we have enjoyed religious freedom, say those two words with me, religious freedom. Say them again, religious freedom. Oh, how we need to cherish that, my friend. But because we have enjoyed religious freedom, God has used and continues to use America to be the catalyst to evangelize the world. God's very heartbeat, my friend, is the redemption of mankind. Now, here's the second thing, having to do with the power of America. Not only were we framed in righteousness, but secondly, we were founded for two reasons. Founded for two reasons. America was founded as a republic. Put that word in your mind, as a republic, for two specific reasons. First of all, for religious freedom. For religious freedom. America was founded so that Americans could worship God in freedom. You know the history. You've studied the history, and that is extremely accurate. This was freedom of religion, not freedom from religion, like so many power groups and like so many lobbyist groups today would want us to embrace and would want us to promote. And by the way, one of the worst things that's happened in America happened within recent years, and that is the passing of the hate crimes bill, whereby a person like myself, who would stand in a pulpit with freedom of speech and yet in fact walk a tightrope so many times because of the hate crimes bill. It will not surprise me. And by the way, when that was just about 2 weeks before that bill was passed, I had a senator in this state call me and say he wanted to have breakfast with me. And he wanted to have breakfast with me for one purpose. Just for one purpose. He said, I know you. I know how you preach. I know what you say. And I'm about to tell you that you're going to be walking on dangerous ground within the next couple of weeks, because we're getting ready to pass a hate crimes bill. And he said, I wanted you to have a heads up about that, because you speak the truth and because you are not ashamed to say what you believe God wants you to say. And I'm just coming to you as a friend to say to you that you are going in the years ahead to be on dangerous ground because of this hate crimes bill. And I said, I appreciate the heads up, and if you don't mind, sign me up to be the first one in prison. I said, I won't back down. I won't shut up. And he said, I know it. I'm just telling you what's coming down. Now, here's the second thing. We were founded for two reasons. First of all, for religious freedom. And secondly, for protection of rights. For protection of rights. There are certain unalienable, that's an interesting word. There are certain unalienable. Nobody can bring a lien against these. Well, that's good. Nobody has the right to bring a lien against these certain rights that our Declaration of Independence declares for us. These are rights that have been granted to us by our Creator. And among these are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Now, let me just take a parenthesis here at this point and just say to you that because of the rights that our Declaration grants to us and consequently our Constitution provides for us, let me just put a parenthesis in here and just say to you that there is one particular constitutional right that we have that I want to encourage you, oh how strongly I want to encourage you to never, ever, never, ever give it up. And that is the Second Amendment, my friend, because the Second Amendment is the only thing that stands between us and tyranny. Don't ever turn over your guns to the government, my friend. I agree with the guy that said, oh, the government can have my gun, but they'll have to pry my cold dead finger off the trigger. Now, when you destroy righteousness, you destroy a nation. When we forget and forsake the reasons for which our nation was founded, we are no longer a powerful nation. Here's a third thing I want you to see. It has to do with the perversion of America. The perversion of America. Three things. First of all, we have forsaken our holiness and humility. We have forsaken our holiness and humility. We're no longer a holy nation, seeking after holiness and seeking after godliness. Instead, we seek after pleasure. We're a self-serving, self-gratifying people. It's what our environment is. That's what we have become. It's almost like when we walk into a dark room, and we've all done this. We've all done this. When we walk into a dark room, and if you stand there long enough, instead of flipping on the switch to turn on the light, what do? Well, we stand there and we squint a little bit. We stand motionless until what happens? Until our eyes adjust to the darkness. Now, my friend, that is exactly what we have done in America. We have stood here long enough until our spiritual eyes have adjusted to the spiritual darkness. We're no longer a holy nation seeking after godliness. We're no longer a nation of humility. We've become a prideful and puffed up nation. We've become greedy. We've become self-centered and self-serving and self-gratifying. How many times, as our nation has gone through tragedy, it might be a tornado, it might be a wildfire that has devastated a state, it might be a hurricane, it might be something as national as 911. And how many times do we hear, and from now on just listen for this, just listen for it. Listen for the governor to say, listen for the president to say, listen for whoever's in charge at that time, make this statement. How many times have we heard, we will rebuild? How many times have you heard, we need God's help? We need God's help. Well, you won't hear that, and the reason is, that wouldn't be politically correct. Because we bought in to the asinine concept that we can't talk about God and we can't cry out to God and we can't invoke God's power and God's presence and God's provision. We're a prideful nation. And we must realize that pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Now, secondly, we're talking about the perversion of America. We've forsaken our holiness and humility. Secondly, we've forgotten our heritage. And not only have we forgotten that our nation was founded on biblical principles and Judeo-Christian precepts, but our nation and our government and our Supreme Court, which, by the way, I'm gratified by a couple of recent rulings by the Supreme Court. I'm encouraged by that. I also don't mind telling you, I just flat out get nauseated when I hear, as I have this past week, when I hear the concern in America for the balance of power on the Supreme Court. Excuse me? The balance of power? That's because somewhere in America, sometime in our history, we've decided that it's okay to have activist judges. Let me tell you what the balance of power ought to be on the Supreme Court, my friend. More times than not, it ought to be 9-0. Because God has placed nine, not 4 or 5, so that we could have a balance of power. No, God has placed 9 constitutionalists on the Supreme Court. Now, if you were looking for a place to applaud, that would have been a great spot right there, my friend, because that I want a judge that believes in the original document of our Constitution. I want 9 of them on that court. But you see, our nation, our government, our Supreme Court have seen to it that we have turned from the foundation stones of biblical principles and Judeo-Christian precepts upon which our nation was founded. They're very foundation stones. And that we can't promote these. And that we should not educate our children regarding our Christian heritage. How tragic is that? Listen, all you have to do is to go back into some of the earlier textbooks and realize that these principles upon which our nation was founded are no longer taught and no longer recognized. Listen, we need to realize that you can't get spiritual fruit off of secular trees. And that's what our educational system has become. It wasn't founded that way. You see, if you don't pass on righteousness, you will pass on unrighteousness. We've forgotten our heritage. Here's the final thing here. We're talking about the perversion of America. Thirdly, we've flaunted our humanity. We have flaunted our humanity. We've denied the deity of God. And we've exalted humanity as God. Humanism is the God of America. And it's exactly like the deceit of Lucifer as recorded in Isaiah chapter 14 when he said, I will be as God. Now, here's the fourth thing that I want us to see. And that is the peculiarities of America. The peculiarities of America. We're the land of the free. And I'm so grateful for that. I do not esteem that lightly at all. The majestic lady in New York Harbor beckons people to come. She says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Now, at the same time of promoting freedom and democracy, we have swung the pendulum of our independence to the extreme. We have forgotten. Now, look at that, and I've got this on your notes. Look at this very carefully, what I'm going to share with you over the next brief minutes. We have forgotten that inherent within independence itself is that which demands these four things. Inherent within independence itself. These things must be adhered to within the structure of independence, or else you don't have independence. First of all, responsibleness and responsibility. I adhere to what it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, and that is this: if a person doesn't eat, doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. If he doesn't work, shouldn't eat. But you see, we have moved from being a republic, and that, remember me calling your attention to that moments ago? We had our attention called to that earlier when we said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic. But we have moved from becoming a republic to becoming a democracy. That's a dangerous thing for a country. And there are a multitude of countries that have been a democracy that are now in the graveyards of history. And as a part of our movement to being a democracy, we have established for ourselves a massive, massive entitlement and welfare structure in America. And when you do that, my friend, when we provide that, then consequently, we become enslaved to that, which is what we've done. And a democracy, by virtue of it being a democracy, ultimately becomes so top-heavy that it's inevitable for it to topple. And inherent within independence is that which demands responsibleness and responsibility, whether it be in working, whether it be in accepting our decisions, whether it be in admitting our wrongs, whether it be in relationships. There must be responsibleness and responsibility, or else there won't be independence. Secondly, inherent within independence itself is that which demands a respect for the whole and not just the individual, lest all individuals lose their independence. A couple of examples of that. And I'm glad that it didn't go any further than it did, but it got pretty far down the line, my friend, is when one person in California can say, I'm offended when we say the Pledge of Allegiance and we say, one nation under God, I want it removed. Almost got it done. Here's another example of that which did get done. When Madeline Murray O'Hara can say, I'm offended that we would pray, that we would allow our children to pray in our public schools. That's not done anymore, my friend. And so you see, inherent within independence itself is that which demands a respect for the whole and not just the individual, lest all individuals lose their independence. That's why I'm concerned that we're okay with appointing activist judges. Here's a third thing. Inherent within independence itself is that which demands an appreciation for the very tenets of our history and heritage that has afforded for us the blessings and benefits of our independence. an appreciation for the very tenets of our history and heritage that has afforded for us the blessings and benefits of our independence. Now, my friend, that's no longer taught in our public schools today. Situational ethics is, but what I just described to you is no longer taught in our public schools. Now, I really applaud those who serve in our public schools today. I assure you, I applaud you. Matter of fact, if you are associated with vocationally with our public schools, whether it be in Mountain Grove or elsewhere, if you are associated in any degree, you know, we've got the superintendent of Mountain Grove School in our church, and other administrators and teachers. If you're associated vocationally with our public school schools, either here or beyond, would you please stand? Would you please stand? We want to applaud you. Just stand. Why, look at that. And up in the balcony, that's great. That's great. Thank you. You may be seated. You may be seated. What a difficult job in this day and age. And we applaud you. But I recognize, and you do too, it's not just what we decide to do locally. It's top down. It's top down in our public schools. And therein is so much of the difficulty. Now, when my boys, and my boys are old. They're old. Their dad's old. And so when my boys went through public school, my wife and I were diligent about reading their textbooks. And man, if I ran into problems with their textbooks, and I did back then, I did. I was up at the school the next day. I was visiting with teachers and said, "This is not right. This is wrong. You're teaching truth and fact, and that's not it." And I would have to explain to some teachers or maybe to some counselor about situational ethics. My oldest son came home one day and he said, "Dad, look what we were discussing here about these people in this lifeboat." And I finally raised my hand and said, "Teacher, I think God could help all of them be safe." I said, "You're exactly right." But now that teacher, that counselor had a visit from his dad the next day. And I said, "I don't approve of this. I don't approve of this kind of teaching. And let me explain to you why." And then I offered this. I said, "I would pay with my own money out of my own pocket if I brought you alternative material to teach. Would you do it? And I'll pay for it for every student that's coming through here. Will you teach it?" And she hung her head and she said, "I can't. I can't get by with it, with this administration and with the state of Missouri." But there must be an appreciation for the very tenets of our history and heritage that has afforded for us the blessings and benefits of our independence, or else we'll lose it. Now here's the final thing there. We're talking about the peculiarities of America. And inherent within independence itself is that which demands an acceptance of the culture that creates the environment whereby freedom and liberty can thrive and survive. But you see, because we are the land of the free, therefore we have said, "Y'all come. Y'all come. Come to America. Enjoy our freedoms. Enjoy our liberty. We welcome you. We welcome you with open arms. Now, do not misunderstand what I'm about to say to you. And that is this. I recognize that we are a country of immigrants. We're a nation of immigrants. But please understand that we do have an immigration problem. Actually, and I don't know why you never hear this word. It's not so much that we have an immigration problem, my friend. We have an illegal immigration problem. Now, why is that hard to grasp? Why is it you never hear that word used? When we hear the politics of immigration. And let me also say that the Scribner philosophy about DACA, all you hear is it's criminal to separate children from their parents. I want to talk to every one of them that parade under that banner, and here's my first question to them. Do you believe in abortion? Because every one of them do. Is that not criminal to separate an unborn baby from the mother's womb? Come on. Is it not the same principle? Listen. We say y'all come to America, enjoy our freedoms and liberty. We welcome you with open arms. But I say to you, if you are born an American, or if you become a nationalized citizen, or if you're visiting in America, welcome to our country and our culture. But, please keep in mind, this is our country. It has a heritage. Understand it. It has a history. Learn it. It has founding documents. Respect them. It has a flag. Honor it. It has a pledge. Stand up. Cross your heart. And speak it. And I don't care if you are in the NFL. Get up off your knees and honor that flag that gives you the freedom to play in the stadiums and to make millions of dollars like you do. It has a motto. Are you aware of that? It has a motto. Our country has a motto, and it is, "In God we trust." Embrace it. It has a national anthem. Sing it. It has a language. Learn it and speak it, and it is English. It has a military. Support it. It has a president. Honor that office. Whether you like him or not, honor that office. It has a government. Pray for it. It has an ethic. And that ethic is Bible-based. Accept it. It has a religion. And it is Christianity, in spite of what our former president declared. Accept it and believe it. And our nation has a God. He is Yahweh, Jehovah God of the Bible. Believe in Him and worship Him. Now don't come to our country and expect us to embrace your culture. And don't come to our country and disrespect our flag. And don't come to our country and ridicule our government and dishonor our president and run down our military and support terrorist activities. And don't come to our country and flaunt your God. If it isn't Jehovah God of the Bible, your God is false. And don't come and promote your religion. If it isn't Christianity, it is a false religion. False gods and false religions are detrimental to our culture because it's righteousness that exalts a nation, and sin brings reproach to any people. You see, these work to unravel the very fiber and fabric which has woven the tapestry of our culture and our character. And if you cannot embrace and accept the culture of America, if you don't like America, if you choose to be anti-American, then as far as I am concerned, my friend, you are no longer welcomed in this land of liberty. If you do not care to make our country your country, go home. We have forgotten that righteousness is what exalts a nation. We must return to the foundational structure upon which this nation was founded. We must return to the faith of our founding fathers, the letter and the spirit of our founding documents. We must return to Judeo-Christian principles. We must return to constitutional law, and we must return to biblical ethics. And I say, never again. Never again would I vote for a politician who isn't pro-life. Never again would I embrace a family-destroying homosexual agenda. Never again would I vote for alcohol and drug legislation at any level. Never again would I accept Sharia law as a replacement for constitutional law. And you say, oh, that won't ever happen in America. It is, my friend, it is. Never again would I condone the concept of spending our way out of debt. Never again would I embrace a perverted family structure that denies God's model of one man and one woman for life. Never again would I fail to be appreciative of our public servants who give of themselves daily in the fields of law enforcement and medical personnel and first responders and firefighters and our military. Never again would I fail to pray for our elected leaders, recognizing that they are, as the Bible declares, ministers of God for good. And never again would I be ashamed of admitting that I am indeed a born-again, blood-bought follower of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen. Do I hear the sound of shattering glass? Never again. Now here's the last thing, and I want us to stand right now, please. Everybody stand. And here's the last point. Here's the last point. It's the promise for America. And this is it, right here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. This is the last point. It's the promise for America. Let's read it together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. That is the promise for America. Father, America needs God. I ask that in your judgment that you would remember mercy. Give us time to fulfill the promise of 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just remain standing, my friend, and I'm going to ask you to come to the altar, and I'm going to ask you to pray for America. Pray for America. It's the greatest need in America is to do what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. If my people, called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So I'm going to ask you to come and kneel on the altar and pray for America and ask God what your part is. Ask God what he wants you to do. I know he wants you to pray and to turn from our wicked ways and to seek his face. So I'm going to ask you to come. Now, if I can counsel with you about salvation or about church membership or baptism or just pray with you about a particular need, I stand ready to do that. But this has been a message about America and a message about God and a message about the fact that America needs God. So I invite you to the altar today to pray just that. All right, as we sing, you come.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
All right, thank you so very much. We'll continue to honor any who may continue to pray, but thank you for your attentiveness. It's not an easy message to preach. I love you. I love the Lord. I love this church, and I love America. Let's continue to pray for this marvelous country of ours, and let me remind you of our get together this afternoon. Just the fact that we can gather publicly and celebrate like we're going to do today is a tremendous privilege that we have here in America. So don't miss out on that and join us and be faithful to pray for America. Be faithful to pray for our elected officials. Be faithful to pray for our military. Be faithful to pray for those of our who are service providers throughout our community. And tell them thanks. I try to get in the habit of doing that. Almost everybody I see in a uniform, I say thanks. And those that I'm aware are in other service positions, then I try to express gratitude and appreciation for them. So let's be busy about that same type of mentality. And pray for our preachers, yeah. Thank you, I appreciate that. I mean that, I appreciate that very much. Ken Miller, I think, Ken, come on up here, would you please? And Ken's one of our deacons of the week, and I appreciate our deacons, appreciate their ministry and their service here. And Ken, why don't you come and lead us in our closing prayer, would you, my friend?
We'll do that.
God bless you.
Father and God in heaven, we count this a privilege to be able to stand here before you and before these people. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And I love them. And I pray for them. I pray for this church. I pray for unity. I pray for guidance. And I thank you for the independence, the freedom, the privilege that you've allowed us to have. I pray for Brother Jay, for his leadership. And Lord, I pray for the man that you've chosen to send to us when you've prepared our hearts to receive him. I look forward to that. And I trust that this people have the same feeling. Bless us this day. Bless us. Activities this afternoon. Continue to bless our church. And I ask this in the name of your Son and my Savior, Jesus. Amen.